Genesis chapter 17. The message today is the prayers of three fathers. If you were here last week, you would have known that the message was the prayers of three mothers. Today, the prayers of three fathers. I want to read several passages, so seek to concentrate on them as we read. And in Genesis chapter 17, look at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham. So the Lord is speaking to Abraham, and now look at verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Nay, but Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now, in chapter 18, look at verse 22. And the men turned from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that so the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it, if I find there 40 and 5. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure, there shall be 40 there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left off communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. And now let's look at chapter 24. The unnamed servant, whom we believe to be Eliezer, has been out searching for a bride for Isaac. Abraham has given him specific instructions, and he has been successful. And now, this servant is bringing back Rebekah to be the wife of Isaac. And look at verse 24:63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now in chapter 25, he's married, and it says in verse 20, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian, to be his wife. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And now, chapter 28. Jacob, in a dream, has seen heaven open, a ladder from earth to heaven, and God has spoken to him, and now this is what Jacob says to God in verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. Then this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And chapter 48, and these passages are abbreviated, they are suggested. Chapter 48, and look at verse 15. And Jacob blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who hath shepherded me all my life long unto this day, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all that you recorded for us in the Word of God. Some of it is so brief, and yet, Father, it is filled with the weightiest matter. And so from the portions that we have read together this morning, we ask thy blessing that we shall understand about the prayers of these fathers, and our souls shall be blessed and challenged from what we read of them as it pertains to us. So look upon us for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. What title could be more appropriate to go along with the title I gave the message last week? The Prayers of Three Mothers. Today, the prayers of three fathers. But it can be better than that. The prayers of three praying fathers. Because for all we know, the mothers I read to you last week prayed one prayer each, and that's all that we know. Hannah, her prayer for little Samuel, and then an ascription of praise to God in answer to that prayer. And then the Syrophoenician woman, her prayer, and then a more modern prayer of a grandmother. And so they were the prayers of three mothers. But those are the only prayers we know for sure that they prayed. But I had to abbreviate what I wanted to bring to your attention. when I was reading the prayers of three fathers, because these were not three fathers that prayed one time, and that's all God tells us, but they were fathers who prayed again and again and again. And just so we would not depart from the Medes and the Persians, the law of the Medes and the Persians, I had read to us from the New Testament about a father who prayed. Last week, we had this Syrophoenician woman who prayed for her daughter. And I wanted to hear about a father who had a prayer that he offered to our Savior for his son. A mother who prays for a daughter, a father who prays for his son. But those are the only prayers that God has recorded that they ever prayed. They may very well be the first and only prayer that they ever prayed. But it may also be the first prayer that they prayed to the Savior, and after that they understood about prayer, and they continued to pray for the rest of their lives. Because what I've read about these three men, all of them are men of prayers. Not prayers uttered once, but prayers offered to God over and over and over again. And God has just given us a few of these prayers, and He has abbreviated what was said in those prayers, but He has given us an explanation of the disposition of these men, and Abraham was the most active and the one who prayed more prayers in different places. But what happened was this. Abraham was one who not only prayed to God, but he set up memorials each time he had an encounter with God. I find that Abraham built four altars, and an altar is a symbol of worship because he told us that in Genesis 22. Here is an altar, and Abraham said, "My son and I shall go there and worship and come again unto you." And Abraham builds no less than four altars, and he does another thing to memorialize an event. He plants a tree. Now, his son Isaac only erects one altar. But he outdoes his father when it comes to digging wells. Isaac is the son that dug wells. His father Abraham had dug wells, but we are only told of one. But the wells that he had dug, the enemies came and filled them all up with dirt. And then it says that Isaac uncovered those wells again, but his enemies kept taking and claiming those wells for their own. And so, finally, one is dug, and it is Isaac's, and he rejoices in that well. But he dug no less than five wells of his own, however many of them he was permitted to use. And do you remember about Jacob and the well? It speaks about Jacob's well in John chapter 4, where our Savior had a conversation with a woman. And so here are men, and they have a variety of activities, but they have to do with God. And you think of your life and ask yourself this question. The encounters that I have had with God, what memorials have I left in the world from the times that God spoke to me and I in turn spoke to God? Can you think of four memorable events in your life when God revealed himself to you, when God spoke to your heart, and you in turn spoke to God, and then erected an altar in remembrance of the time that you communed with God? Abraham had four, and he planted a tree. But remarkable, his son just had one. And two, his grandson, Jacob, had one. So here we are, some having one, some having two, but all of them have altars, and all of them pray to God. But from what scriptures told us, what is amazing is that we never read of one prayer that Jacob ever prayed to God until he was 77 years old. That's the first time that God had revealed himself to Jacob. Jacob had heard about God from Abraham and from Isaac because Jacob lived 15 years. Abraham got to see his son Jacob, and he lived for 15 years, and he had heard of God's revelation to Abraham and to Isaac, but he had never experienced that in his own soul. And some of you here may have had parents telling you of the experience they had with God, and yet, in honesty, you would have to say, well, I've never had such an experience with God. Well, Jacob, when he was 77 years of age, for the first time, had God revealed unto him. And then he prays his first prayer to the God who has revealed himself to him. And it is a remarkable prayer. A prayer in the form of a covenant. And he tells God what he expects him to do. And then he says, this is what you may expect me to do. And if all these things are carried out, I will give you 10% of everything that comes my way. Now, if I had time, I would show you that it's not so mercenary as it sounds of Jacob. But the point is that Jacob only started communing with God when he was 77 years old. How old are you? Have you ever started communing with God? What altars can you point out in your life that signify God spoke to me at this place in a significant way and it changed my life? Can you even say I have one altar that I can remember? Tell me, have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If I were permitted, I could tell you the first altar that I would have built. It would have been in San Pedro, California, 1946, March the 27th. That's when I was still in the Navy. I bowed the knee and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if it were possible, I would have gladly erected an altar there where I started communing with God as my Father for the first time. I've erected in my own heart other altars along the way, but the important thing is that first altar. I told you that Isaac had only one and Jacob two. I reversed that. So here at least are altars of significance that they had in their lives. And some would plant a tree in memory of some event that happened in their lives. And after that, they started praying. And they never stopped praying. What is good is that when in Genesis 28, Jacob begins praying. At the very end of his life, he prays his most beautiful prayer of blessing as he pronounces the blessing of God upon his 12 sons. And the brief prayer that I read to you was the prayer that Jacob prayed to God for his son Joseph and Manasseh and Ephraim. And so all of these men are men of prayer. And so they're not the three prayers of fathers, but three prayers of praying fathers. Because having begun to pray, they prayed their whole life long. Now, I believe I can tell you this with truth. Since the day I trusted Christ as Savior in 1946, there has never been a day that has gone by that I have not prayed to God. I'm thinking that this father is driven because of circumstances to come and pray to the Lord Jesus. My son is lunatic. I want him healed. And so he has to come to Jesus in praise. And then when Jesus answers, why go to Jesus anymore? The thing that you love, this son, he's been blessed, and so why pray anymore? For the same reason that that leper, having been blessed of the Lord Jesus the first time, he came and fell at his feet and gave him thanks because he was cleansed. I have begun to thank God for salvation since that first day that I was saved. And I've never failed to thank God from that day until this for the salvation that God has given. Think of all those years, all those days that I thank God because of what He first did for me. And it's the same with these other men in the Old Testament. Now, I purposely chose those for this reason. I mentioned last week about Lois and Eunice and Timothy. Three generations, a grandmother, a mother, and a grandson. And today I read of three fathers who were a father, a son, and a grandson. Three distinct generations. Now that's good. Three generations you see the hand of God in. But then I told you Wednesday night about numerous generations, the sons of Rahab, how that their father gave them a command, and for some 300 years they had never broken that command. But this was a commandment of a man. But I wish I could say to God, having received your salvation by grace, having learned your will, I wish that I could say as the son of Rahab, that I have never departed from all things that you have told me to do. All that is good and right, I wish, O God, I could say with the sons of Rahab, I have never disobeyed you as they never disobeyed their father. But I do not believe that there is any man who could say that. Perhaps Paul, because this is what he said. He said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Which of us can say that? Whatever you have done, you are justified toward God and toward man, a conscience void of offense. How many of us have done things that are wrong and have failed to go and confess that sin and be reconciled to our brother or our sister? And yet Paul could say that. And so some of us pray in one way, and some of us have consistent communion with God, and some of us address God in a particular way, and others in a different way. And that is why I read to you that one passage about Isaac. Because Isaac was one who was a quiet man. it said that he went out into the field at eventide to meditate. And that's a lovely thing, because when you meditate, you're not always praying to God, but you are letting God speak to you, and you are enjoying the truths of God. And as God brings these truths to your attention, yes, you thank God for them. You see a responsibility of yours. You pray to God. And so it says that Isaac was one who meditated. He went out into the field at eventide to be away from everyone else, to be alone with God. And at eventide in North Carolina, and I suppose things are as beautiful here, I look in the west and I see a glorious sunset, and that reminds me of God. And depending on what time of the year, have we not erst heard about the beauty when God covers the earth with snow? And so Isaac would go out in the eventide by himself. And he was single then. His mother had been dead 3 years. And he was out in the field meditating. And as he was meditating, he lifted his eyes and he saw the camels were coming. And he had been waiting all those years for a bride. And this bride was coming to him. And what more blessed thing could happen when you are communing with God, thinking of the bride that's coming to you, and you lift your eyes and hear the answer to prayer is coming. These are some of the joys that you can have with God, quietly, privately. The Lord Jesus puts it this way. He said that when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. There are times when you are to shut men out. There are times when no one is to be around, but you are to enjoy the presence of God and to speak to God, and God is to speak to you. And Isaac was a man who was able to do that. He prayed to God. But now, I told you about the one thing the others prayed for, the one thing the father prayed for. They all were praying concerning their children. One thing. But if you look over the lives of these three men, three successive generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you'll see the great variety that is covered when they pray to God. Because even Jacob, who is the most selfish, still he prays for others. And Abraham prays for others. And Isaac prays for others. In fact, the most glorious prayer that is recorded that Abraham ever prayed was not for anything that pertained to him directly. It was something he had separated himself from. The most wicked city that God was ready to destroy with fire and brimstone. That prayer that I read you in Genesis 18 is for the preservation of the city of Sodom. I think that I would pray that God would destroy that city. But Abraham prays effectually that God will preserve that city. Why? Because there is a relative of his in that city. Abraham is a man who used thought when he spoke to God. And if you compare the prayers of Moses that he prayed to God and the prayers of Abraham, you will see that they are very subtle as they pray to God. Because when Moses is praying to God for the preservation of Israel, he said, "Don't you know that if these people are destroyed like you say you're going to do, that the Egyptians will say, you couldn't get them to the promised land. We can't have that to happen, Lord. You are to preserve Israel." And now here is Abraham, and he's talking to God, and he starts out, Would you preserve the city of Sodom if there were 50 righteous men in it? And God says yes. And then he starts praying to God by fives. Well, what about 45? I'll save it for 45. What about 40? Yes, I'll save it for 40. Well, what about 30 and 20 and 10? And then he stops praying. But there is thought, and I would wonder why he would not just go and say, God, my nephew Lot is in that city, and if you destroy that city, he will be destroyed. Will you save that city for Lot? But he did not go that far. And I believe that he did some reasoning, and he said, 10, there is Lot and his wife and his two daughters, and then there are two sons-in-law, and I think perhaps there might be 4 out of that whole city to add to that. I think 10 will be sufficient. Would you spare that city if there are 10 there? And God said, I will spare it for 10. And so every prayer that I've read to you has been answered. You say, but God destroyed Sodom. But there was a condition. He said, will you spare it if 10 righteous are found there? And God said, yes, but there were not 10 righteous found there. There may have been only 1 righteous man there. And we learn that from 2 Peter when he says, righteous Lot. I do not know if his wife was righteous, if his daughters were righteous because of their behavior. And God knows from the way that Lot would have dealt with his daughters, I would wonder if he were righteous. But God tells us that he was. And Abraham loved this nephew. And that's a good thing. Love in the heart of Abraham for this city of Sodom. And if Abraham can pray for the preservation of Sodom, I wonder if America is any worse than Sodom at that time. And we know what has happened to New Orleans, and I wonder if all the cities of America are that bad. But if they are as evil as Sodom, if we can pray to God for the preservation of those cities, not for the cities and the sin in them themselves, but for those righteous ones that are in the city. And I'm wondering if God would save East Freedom because he could find sufficient righteous people in it to prevent him from destroying it. And in Goldsboro and in Raleigh and in the different cities, if we pray to God, oh God, the city is not worth preserving, but oh God, would you, for the righteous ones that are in that city. And so Abraham is one whose prayers reached out, and also this, his wife Sarah had talked him into bringing into the world Ishmael, and he thought Ishmael was going to be his heir, and he prayed for Ishmael. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, I've heard your prayer concerning Ishmael, but he is not to be your heir. But think of that, that Abraham would pray for Lot, his nephew, for Ishmael, his son, by Hagar. And I do not believe his wife was ever in harmony with him. Whenever she thought of Hagar, she hated the woman, and then she hated Ishmael, and she compelled Abraham to drive him away. But Abraham had a heart that was nobler than Sarah's, and he prayed for Ishmael. Oh, that you would bless Ishmael. And so he had a heart that included those that were not loved by others, but he loved them, and he prayed for them. And Jacob, the long prayer that he prayed, he mentions how God promised that he would fulfill certain good things in his life, and he holds those before God. And then he mentions that you said that for me, and he said, and beside that, I have a wife, and I have children, And if Esau destroys me, he will destroy them as well. I want you to save all of us. And so God answered that prayer. And the last prayer, other than the blessings that he prayed, was this. He said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who hath shepherded me my whole life long unto this day, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads. That was his last prayer. And he said, and I want the name of my fathers and my name to be pronounced over them. But think how important that is. If you read the way that Jacob had gone through life, when things occurred in his life, unlike his son Joseph, who said, God was behind all of this. You meant it for ill, but God meant it for good. Jacob looked at these events and he said, all these things are against me. And you would think up until he prayed that prayer in Genesis 48 that God was against him and God was not with him or his grandfather or his father. But thank God at the end of his life, he had reviewed life and what had happened. And this is what he says. The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk. He thought back on the life of his ancestors. And he said, they walked before God. God was their God. And they walked before him. And he said, the God who has, and it said, feeds me or fed me, but it's the word shepherded. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the same word. The God who hath shepherded me my whole life long unto this day. And now finally, at the end of his life, he discovers he was not without a shepherd, that God was not against him, but God was for him. And he says, this God that has shepherded me, my grandfather, my father, and me, and this angel that has redeemed me from all evil, this God is the God I want for my children. Bless the lads. And that is an excellent thing when you can say from one generation to another generation, not that you have changed gods, not that the God that your grandfather trusted is one who can be trusted, but your father did not trust him. But my grandfather, my father trusted him. And he was faithful to them. And he's been faithful to me. And now, these children whose lives are before them, I want them to be their God. And I commend them to this God. And that is his testimony. And I'm wondering if any of you fathers and mothers can pray such a prayer. You can look back and see previous generations, whether God has blessed your people in those generations. And you can say, I want the God that was theirs to be my God. And I want him to bless them as he has blessed me. Three praying fathers, and their prayers were honored by God, and their souls were blessed by God. May the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be your God as well. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you are not a God for one generation, but for all generations. And we are thankful for those who, unlike some, come into a realization of the truth and salvation to be found in Christ, whereas in previous generations it was not there. But we are thankful when it begins and continues, and we pray that if it must begin with us, that it shall continue, our God, and that what you've been to us, the goodness, the joy, the times of meditation that we've had with you, the exceeding great and precious promises that we have enjoyed from you. We pray, our God, that these blessings that have been ours shall be our children. And our Father, challenge all of these men who are here to be praying fathers, and may their children be able to look upon them as we would pray from last week, praying mothers. My father is a man who prays. My mother is a mother who prays. Let us be praying fathers and mothers, and we pray to thee, our God, that you shall bless our children. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.